Nursing Homes Ireland are not happy bunnies at this stage, and I'm joined by their CEO, Tadhg Daly. Good morning again, Tadhg. Thanks for joining us once again on Kildare Today. Just first a word generally before we talk about the issue of discrimination, which you say against private and voluntary homes. How are things in the nursing home sector COVID-wise at the moment?
Yeah, I suppose, look, we're in a, thankfully a much, much different place than we were over the last while, hugely successful, and particularly in terms of the booster. So at the moment, there's, I think, around 50 open outbreaks across the country, but the numbers are very small. And clearly, the most important bit is that the, I suppose, the sickness, you know, are hugely different in terms of people aren't as sick. But it's still very challenging. I mean, staff are exhausted and have done a super job over the last 2 years. So to be facing into, you know, Christmas again and a very difficult period is challenging. Mm-hmm. And we'd be asking people who are visiting to be absolutely vigilant. Now, if you're coming visit, for example, and clearly if you have symptoms, you shouldn't be going anywhere near a nursing home. So we'd ask the public, I suppose, and visitors to be, you know, work with the homes, public, private and voluntary, in what is a very, very, you know, a difficult period, but hopefully a very happy time for residents as well, as we try and make, I suppose, the best Christmas that we can, despite the prevailing circumstances.
Well, the very question I was going to ask you about visiting, take the greatest of care, folks, in regards to that. Nursing homes, people are vulnerable, vaccinations are not. So do not go near the place unless it's necessary and that you take all the necessary precautions.
I suppose the fact that there's very high levels in the community that see from both HICWA and the Health Protection Surveillance Centre is that, the single biggest predictor of an outbreak is high community transmission. So if there is, high community transmission, that has an impact across the entire health service. But as you say, we're asking people to be vigilant, and while they might be, distressed or upset at not being able to visit, hopefully this too will pass, and we'll be back into hopefully more normal times sooner rather than later.
Well, better, I know, I understand the frustration of people not being able to visit, but better that than that they bring COVID into a nursing home and cause the death of people or the very best intense suffering as well. On the major issue that you're here to talk about today, Tadhg, you say there's a requirement for the government to take immediate action to redress discrimination applied by the state against private and voluntary nursing home residents and staff. What's that about?
Yeah, well, I mean, effectively, the Department of Health undertook a for money review back in 2017. That was to be published in 2019, but it was actually published at about 8 o'clock by the department. And I suppose, look, it confirms what us in the sector and those of us that have an interest in nursing homes already know, but it is quite damning, because what it's outlining is that there's a differential of somewhere between the order of 62 and 73% in terms of the weekly per resident fee that's provided to the public homes as against...
On that fee, by the way, you're saying that between 2015 and 2019, the average fee paid per resident in private and voluntary nursing homes increased by 10% from 903 to 992.
Yes.
But the increase for HSE nursing homes was double, increasing by 20.3% from 1,426 to 1,700 HSE, in regards to why they pay almost double a subvention to their nursing homes as opposed to private and voluntary ones.
Well, I mean, what this report has done, and you quite rightly highlighted the differential between 2015 and 2019, and that was already on an already high base. But there's no logic to it, and they have put up no defence on this point in time, because historically, you will recall, many of the people speaking on this would have said, well, the nursing homes in the public sector have more higher dependence, for example, or higher dependency. That report confirms it. So, I mean, what this means is that for most of your listeners, they'll say, well, what does that mean? I suppose what it means ultimately is that we will in the future have a situation whereby some of the smaller nursing homes across the country have closed and will continue to close. What it'll mean is there'll be a dearth of difficult to get nursing home care.
And in regards to the Fair Deal scheme, is that impacted the same way that more money for Fair Deal schemes is allocated to HSE-run nursing homes than there is to voluntary and private?
Well, yeah, absolutely, and that's what this report is ultimately saying. The report is showing that there's a 62% differential per resident per week. But there's also then additional funding through, I suppose, general HSE funds of another average of €100 per week on top of that. And then when you take into account that, there's commercial rates, insurance, capital costs, there's a whole myriad of costs there for private and voluntary operators that are not encompassed in the HSE rate. So, look, this isn't about, you know, anti-public or pro-private at all. This is about the resident, ultimately. And what we need to ensure is that there's high-quality care in local communities across the country and that the staff who work in them are remunerated appropriately. One of the big takeaways from this report is that the remuneration levels in the public system are much higher because they are getting a higher fee per week. What we've been calling for a long number of years, and indeed the expert panel on nursing homes reinforced that point, is that we need to have parity between public, private and voluntary. What that means is there's going to have to be a significant investment in Fair Deal. And we accept this is going to be a step change. We're not saying that this has to happen overnight, but there has to be a commitment to say that given the ageing population, given the challenges that have been illuminated through COVID, given the radically changed environment in nursing homes, we have to invest more into care of the older person.
All right. On that note, Tadhg Daly, CEO of Nursing Homes Ireland. Tadhg, wish you and yours a happy Christmas, and thank you
for many happy returns to you.
You're always available to this programme and Kildare Focus, and we thank you for that as well.
Thank you, and best wishes to you, Clem, and all your listeners, and hopefully everyone will have a happy and peaceful Christmas.
So say all of us. On that note, Tadhg Daly, CEO of Nursing Homes Ireland, on that issue of the imbalance in payments that the HSE makes to its own run nursing homes as opposed to those which are voluntary or private. Now, in Garda Síochána are warning the public to be aware of a new text scam alert known as the grandparent scam, where members of the public receive a random text message purporting to be from a family member stating they require financial help or are in some sort of trouble which needs to be kept secret. The person sending the text message will pretend to be a family member who has lost their phone and is making contact on a new phone number. They are usually based in a foreign country. The fraudulent text will say that they require urgent financial assistance, for example, to pay an urgent medical bill or fine. The victim of the fraud will then make a direct payment to the fraudster's account. An Garda Síochána is advising the public to be wary of unsolicited text messages from unknown numbers. Do not volunteer information, as fraudsters will be known to fish for facts. Resist the urge to act immediately, no matter how dramatic the story is. Verify the person's identity. Ask questions that a stranger couldn't possibly answer. Call another family member to verify if someone is operating under a different number. Do not send cash, gift cards or money transfers. Once the fraudster receives the money, it's gone. Trust your instincts, okay? Gardaí warning about the latest text scam called the grandparent one, which is you'll get a call from someone saying, you know, a family member or whatever else are pretending to be, saying they've lost their phone and they need money urgently. Ignore it. Just don't respond to it. Okay, there's a bunch of boys and girls up in Scoil na Mainistreach in Selbridge, and they're waiting and waiting and waiting. They've recorded a little song with their moon tour, headmaster there, Paul Meskell, for Christmas. It's called Sing With Joy. So boys and girls, we'll tell you what, we're going to the Selbridge Leaks, the Municipal District now with Councillor Joe Neville, and after that we'll give listeners a flavour of the song that you've recorded for Christmas, because I think the singing skills on it really, really contribute to what we all feel about Christmas. So on that particular note, anyway, let's head up to the Selbridge Leaks Municipal District, where we can hear from Councillor Joe Neville, who in fact had a number of motions before the meeting. Good morning, Joe, and welcome.
Good morning, Clem. You're making me feel very guilty now for keeping the kids in school in the monster off waiting.
Well, that was our way of just queuing them off where they have to be gathered from their classrooms into...
Can I just say a big happy Christmas to the kids then, if that's the case? You know, and I hope they have a great time.
All
well
right. Scoil na Mainistreach. You're in for a treat, I have to say. And the headmaster there, Paul Meskell, not your man, by the way, that was in Normal People.
The name rang a bell, all right.
It's another Paul Meskell. I know the fellow that was in Normal People apparently is home with the girlfriend, and they're making quite an impression around, is it Maynooth at this stage?
Yeah, he lives in Maynooth, yeah.
All right, Scoil na Mainistreach is
in... Keep an eye out up around these parts.
Yeah, but Scoil na Mainistreach is in Selbridge. This Paul Meskell is there, so we've two of them. Okay, you wanted an update on the local property tax, Joe. What did you hear about it? And this was in regards to...
River Forest.
What's it? Access into and within the River Forest estate to include short, medium and long-term plan for the area.
Yeah, what it was it's just around River Forest. It's the largest estate in Kildare, housing estate, or one of, and has the school, the County College, down at the bottom. And there's a lot of traffic issues, and we had put local property tax funding towards it for last year, that we would get a study on it, see what could be done. And it hadn't been done yet, and obviously that was 12 months later. So we had continually asked during the year, and we got an answer saying they're waiting for a reply back on the Dark Plus project, which could be another 5 or 6 years. So look, as councillors, we're not willing to wait. We don't want to wait for a 5 or 6 year solution. This is an issue, you know, that could be resolved a lot quicker. So in fairness, the Director of Transport, Kildare County Council, said that she would, Evelyn said, that she would look at it and put it as a priority in the new year to make sure that at least we get some solutions. It doesn't have to be the full answer, but at least we get something done.
Okay, and staying with Leakslip, that the council reviewed the area behind Cedar Park at the entrance opposite Skull Owen Foyle and at Oaklawn Estate for extra lighting.
Yeah, look, we got a positive answer from the lighting team. They're going to put in extra lights there at the Green Lane, and it's one of the busiest areas with the schools and the Leakslip GAA Club, as a lot of your listeners would know well, that area. So at night it can be quite dark, so look, they're going to do something about it, so I'm delighted with that response.
And what's the plan, the council plans, for the cemetery in Leakslip, Joe?
Once again, to be honest, Clem, it's more of a sensitive topic than a lot of issues that we would cover. We realise the importance of, obviously, the cemetery to communities. And unfortunately, but look, as is natural, the county cemetery is becoming full. I think it's only got about another year or two left. So there was that concern locally as regards what would be the plan. But now, in fairness, we got the reference from the council that land, that they had a plan for land quite close by. And as I said, the sensitive, and we wanted the land to be close to the current cemetery as opposed to being brought to a different area. So in that, from that point, the answer was positive, that the council feel that they have a lot of land close by. So look, positive resolution from that point of view, and just hopefully it just gets fully signed and done.
And finally, Joe, you asked the council to update the members on any recent funding made to the submissions made to the government for the recycling centre in the Selbridge Leakslip area.
Yeah, look, and this goes something, and I suppose even as I said, the children in School of the Monster are listening and will be conscious of something like this. You know, recycling in areas, I think it's something we all need to be doing. And unfortunately, in the Leakslip Selbridge, and you know, even the Maynooth area, north of there, we don't have a recycling area. But at the same time, we have a plan in Kildare County Council for one, and it would be near the Selbridge interchange with Leakslip. But we have the plan, we have the part aid, we have all the work done, we just need the money, Clem. And what I wanted to see was have we put in the applications? Yes, we have. But we're waiting, we need 4.5 million for it. So we're waiting on the good graces of the government at some point, sooner rather than later, to say that they have the money for it, for it gets built. And as I said, something to be used for future generations.
Indeed.
Because it is required.
Indeed. Fine Gael Councillor Joe Neville, thank you for your contributions during the year, Joe. Happy Christmas to
happy
you and your family.
To you, Clem, and all your team and everyone listening.
Indeed, and here's to a great Kildare GAA year, which gets underway strongly in January, by the way.
I can't wait. I'm very hopeful for the year ahead now. I think it'll be, I think we've a lot to be positive about in the county, a lot of success in the county and across all other sports. So it'll be great now to get Glenn Ryan and the boys to get up and running next year.
And Nace, Kilcock and Kilcullen have done us proud through against
Nace hurlers, footballers, and the schools, see Nace CBS, the news post primary, Clane.
Did you see Maynooth and Maynooth beat the powerhouse in Leinster of colleges football, St. Patrick's in Navan? Maynooth post-primary beat them yesterday in the Leinster Championship quarter-final.
Three teams in the quarter-final of the Leinster Senior A. That's unbelievable for Kildare, considering Kildare hadn't won one until Nace won one. Nace won it for the first time maybe 4 years ago. It was the first time that a Kildare team had actually won the Senior A. Now we've got three in the quarter. So, look, there's a lot of amazing work being done around the county. So it'd be just nice to see it being brought to the top tables.
All right, indeed. Kildare begin against Kerry, and Jack O'Connor is back in town, St. Connors Park, on Sunday, January 30th. The following week, they're away to Donegal. On February 20th, 2 weeks later, they're away to All-Ireland champions Tyrone. And on February 27th, a week later, Dubs are visiting Newbridge. Welcome to Dubs. The only Saturday match in the campaign is away to Armagh on March 12th at 6 o'clock in the Athletic Grounds. Then on March 20th, they're home to Monaghan. And the following week, 27th, they're home to Mayo. or rather away to Mayo, but that game will not be in Mayo, it'll be in Carrick and Shannon in Leitrim, because Mayo are not able to host home games this season. In hurling, all Sundays and beginning February 6th, Kildare home to Meath, then away to Kerry in Tralee, away to Down in Ballycran on February 27th. The Kerry game is 13th, by the way. March 6th, Kildare home to Carlow. And March 20th, Kildare will be home to Westmeath. That's the diary of that, Joe Neville. Thank you. Happy Christmas, Joe.
Happy Christmas to you all.
Have a good one. And speaking about Skull na Mainistreach, lads, Paul Meskell and his little baby infants, our very, very youngsters up in the school, recorded a little song just for your deliberation. It's called Sing With Joy. And boy, the boy, do they actually sing with joy. I think this is the kind of thing that lets us all know what Christmas means. More to the third class students of Skull na Mainistreach in Selbridge. Sing with joy because Christmas is here. And don't they sing it with great, great joy and enthusiasm? And there's a lesson for the kids. By the way, I think I promoted teacher Paul Meskell to principal. He's not the principal, he's the teacher in third class. Those are his students. And they wrote that song themselves. And that's Paul accompanying them on the piano. And Colm Kenny has just been in touch with the programme to say Paul Meskell Jr. and Sr. are father and son. Father has a long history in amateur drama. So there you go in regards to, and well done the boys and girls up there in Skull na Mainistreach in Selbridge. Sing with joy, you certainly did, Ciara.
Yeah, I absolutely loved that. That was lovely, real Christmassy feels. Now, we know a walk-in COVID-19 booster vaccine clinic is open at Punchestown this morning. It remains open until 12 p.m. 103,000 doses of COVID-19 vaccine were administered yesterday, Tuesday. 50,000 of those were first or second vaccine doses. And one in every six young adults in this country are not vaccinated against the disease. Now, a group of people who I don't think many have thought of over the past few months and probably years, is those that are undocumented. And TD Raida Cronin for Kildare North did tweet the other day that she received a call from an undocumented youngster she was assisting to receive their first vaccine, and they did receive it. She notes that if you are undocumented, you're still eligible for a vaccine. Good morning to you, Raida.
Good morning, Ciara. Thank you very much for that Christmas song. It was lovely. It was great.
It was. We need more of that at the moment, don't we? Listen, great news for this undocumented person, because as we know, everybody has a choice to receive a vaccine, and this person did choose to receive a vaccine, and they were able to. Tell us the story.
Yes. Well, he's a young man. He's done primary school and secondary school in Ireland, but he has no PPS number. And you know the way you need a PPS number to register?
Yeah.
Well, just if you don't have a PPS number and if you're unregistered, but still, you know, in the system in Ireland, you're still eligible for the free vaccine. And you don't need a PPS to get this. Now, the Migrants Rights Council Centre in Ireland has confirmed this. I saw it on a tweet, actually, and I had seen it. And then I was contacted by this person's, a friend of this person's mother contacted me. And, you know, people are anxious as well if they're not documented, you know, if their information is going to go to social services or anything like that.
Yeah,
that's not the case. Yeah.
When you spoke to this youngster, give us a bit of a background. His family or any relations he has here, are they too also worried about receiving a vaccine due to the fact that they're undocumented?
Well, it's a very grey area. His mum actually had been able to receive the vaccine because she was working with, she was a healthcare worker. So she had received the vaccine. But often in families like this, there might be one or two people who just kind of slip between the net and they're not, they don't have a PPS number. So that was the case with this family. There was one child who happened to have been born in Ireland but had attended school in Ireland and all that. So he hadn't, unfortunately, got a PPS number. But you are entitled. I was able, and I have to say that I had great help from our own CHO7 group, because the boy I was dealing with didn't actually live in North Kildare. He lived up in Dublin. But I have to say our own HSE, the CHO7 group here for Kildare and part of Wicklow, were really, really helpful. They contacted him that day. As often young people, they don't listen to their voice message and they don't answer numbers they don't recognise.
Yeah.
And I had to get back to him a week later because I got back on to him and said, he still hasn't heard anything. And they said, well, we actually did contact him. But so I got back to him and I said, would you listen to your voice messages? And he did. And he was in that day then to get his vaccine. So it was really excellent.
Okay, so just reminding people that if you are undocumented, you're still eligible for a vaccine against COVID-19. It won't be shared with social services, your details, and you won't need photo ID. And just to remind people, that booster clinic is open at Punchestown this morning. It remains open until 12 p.m. One in every six young adults are not vaccinated in this country. And I guess some people do choose to not receive a vaccine. But there is an example of somebody who unfortunately wasn't going to be able to get the vaccine. And now we know those undocumented can. Listen, Rheda, very Merry Christmas to you. And I hope it's a lovely one.
You too. Happy Christmas, and to
enjoy
all the station and all the listeners. You know, it's a special time of the year and it's a time to have a little rest for ourselves.
It is. We need to
enjoy.
Relax. Yes.
Indeed.
Thanks, Rheda. Take care.
Happy Christmas, Rheda, and well done on highlighting that particular issue for a group of people that really are completely under the radar for all sorts of reasons. Want to say hello to Alan and Marie in Kilcullen, and lovely card, and this little sweeties that you sent us. We'll be enjoying those, I can assure you, as well. And hello to our local historian, Liam Kenny, who says, Clem, you mentioned that the KFM Christmas card postbox was light, so here goes. He sent me a nice card and he says, thank you all for the engagement in the past couple of months and looking forward to more of the history banner in 2022. In April, for example, the centenary of a visit by the big fellow, otherwise Michael Collins, to Naas, and that's just 14 weeks before his demise, before he was killed at Ballinum Law. Thank you for brightening the lives of people against the background of the pandemic. Thank you, Liam. Wishing you, Liam, and indeed all of those listeners who have sent us cards and the goodies we got as well. We're having quite a ball with them. You're really, really very decent and it's a nice touch. Owen has been in touch from his isolation unit to say that KFM contacted the SSE Electricity in relation to lights being out on the Melitta Road in Kildare Town. SSE have replied to say that the lights have now been reinstated. Well done. And separately, Owen has been told that Irish Water have contacted us to say they're working on a burst water main in Kilcock. It's impacting water supply to customers in the Courtown Road, Courtown Park, Highfield Estate, Connacht Street, Rye Abbey, Kilcock Town Centre and surrounding areas. Water service crews have been mobilised and repairs are expected to be completed later today. That's a burst water main. Serious disruption in regards to that. Thanks, Owen, for those messages. Brian Dooley, good morning to you. and calling in Brian Dooley. There you are now, Brian. Good morning to you, Brian.
Good morning, Clem. How are you?
And welcome to the programme. Thanks for joining us. Beginning with your motion 10, that the council in Athy carry out a review of the traffic sightlines, markings and lightings at Burt Cross.
Yeah, Burt Cross, Clem. I suppose the last number of weeks we've seen several incidents out of Burt Cross. They're just traffic accidents, and some serious enough. So what the response we've got is the councillor are going to develop a county-wide priority list of junctions that require improvement due to safety concerns. And we got an assurance at the meeting on Monday from the senior engineer that top of our list in the Athy MD will be Burt Cross Junction. So we will look forward to seeing what works that are going to be carried out there in order to make it a safer junction.
For listeners in the general area who might be wondering, where's Burt Cross?
Burt Cross is on the Monastrevin Road, Clem. So you're heading from Athy out towards Monastrevin. You go out about 3 kilometres and you turn left down towards Milltown Castle Mitchell. You turn right up the Ribbon football pitch.
Yeah, I know the cross. Yeah, it's very, very poor and dangerous in regards to that. OK, subject to funding availability, as usual, of course, in regards to that. But let's look at the second motion that you brought to the meeting, which was a question asking the council to confirm what support can be given to increased pedestrian lighting to the entrance of the showgrounds in Athy. For people who don't know what that is, the showgrounds is the area of Geraldine Park, the GA grounds, a couple of pitches they have there. The rugby club has 3 or 4 pitches there, and the Thai soccer club has its main pitch there. It's a major junction, people entering and exiting these venues.
Yeah, huge, and you have the tennis club in there as well.
I forgot the tennis club. Yeah.
Yeah, huge amount of, like, there was a time when you'd see maybe activity twice a week up there. Now it's every single night. So what I've looked for is additional lighting at the entrance, predominantly because there's so many kids now cycling and walking up there. What we've been told, Clem, because of the development that's happening with the IGA club and their second pitch, there will be additional lighting going in there as part of their planning permission condition. So, listen, we look forward to getting a few extra lights as well. They did carry out TII, Transport Infrastructure Ireland, did carry out an energy efficiency project there in that area. So they say that we don't require any more lighting. What I'd like to see is more lighting in along the showground roads.
Well, I think that is necessary. It's a fantastic sporting facility. Apologies for the tennis club, forgetting about them. You have the tennis club, the rugby club, the GA club, the soccer club, all with multiple pitches and huge goings in there, people taking general walks and jogging as well in regards to that.
Yeah. We had the minister down there recently and he was blown away by the fact that all of our sports disciplines are based in the one area.
Yeah.
It's really a sports camp. It's fantastic.
It is. The council, you want them to carry out a review of the rates paying sports clubs in the Athy Municipal District. What's that about, Brian? You're looking for a rate settlement for them? A write-down of debts, maybe?
Yeah, Clem, I suppose in the last 2 years we've seen sports clubs, they have, there was a period where during COVID they were stopped. They've only come back now. I suppose sports clubs, like, they do pay rates. They're obviously reduced rates, but what we've found from a lot of sports clubs at the moment is they're under significant pressure. They're under pressure to get kids back into sports. Predominantly sports clubs are run by volunteers, Clem. They're not commercial entities, but they do pay rates and various different things. What I'm looking for is for sports clubs in contact collector, and let's look and see what we can do in order to reduce or negate these rates altogether, because ultimately I think what we're going to see in the next number of years, sports clubs are going to become so important, especially for our children, their mental health after this pandemic is hopefully put to bed. So I'm just looking for that support there, Tim.
All right, your signal just breaking slightly. It's gas, as I said, in this country yesterday. We went live to Lebanon and to Syria, and the two lads talking to us, the two soldiers, it was as if they were in the studio with us here. Such was the clarity of the signal. And then in this country down the road, we can't often get a clear mobile signal. Brian Dooley, happy running to you, and happy Christmas and happy triathlons and everything else that you get up to there.
Clem, we'll see you on Stevens's morning, Clem, for the 5K run, I'm sure. I've seen you out now most Saturday mornings in very inclement weather, actually. So fair play to you. You've been flogging the pavement.
Did I tell you about my bad knee? No. All right, Brian. Regards to you and all in the triathletes that go out there, including Lily Lynham. Lily's about 75 at this stage and she's still going strong. Former St. Lawrence's Kildare star. She's not 75. Just lagging in regards to that. Let's do this.
Crime Watch on KFM.
With Manguard Plus, Ladytown Business Park, Nace. We keep it secure and safe 24 hours a day. 045 408 300.
Sergeant John Dunn of Newbridge Garda Station joins me this morning. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Callie Keaton.
Good, thank you. We're going to begin with a burglary which happened last Friday in Kildare Town.
Yeah, it happened at Rose Cottage in Rathwalk in Kildare. It was a residential premises with sheds to the side. It was just outside Kildare Town, about 2 to 3 miles out the Green Road. It occurred about 12:30 on Friday evening there.
About 8:30, is it?
8:30 in the evening, yeah, on the 17th, last Friday.
And do you want to tell us any more information in regards to the suspects, John?
Yeah, there was two suspects and were disturbed by the owners of the premises and were after breaking into the sheds that were beside the house. And they had left out a number of items that they had ready to go. But the fact that the occupants had disturbed them, they left a number of items behind them. There was a streamer taken and some power tools. Unfortunately, the owners of the property, they weren't able to get any description of the culprits, and there was no ID of the vehicle that was used because there was the vehicle was behind a tall hedge. Unfortunately, the family dog.
Yeah, this could be quite distressing for some people.
Yeah,
it was
not alone was their house broken into or their sheds broken into, but obviously the dog was hit by the fleeing vehicle. Again, we're not sure whether this was done on purpose or intentionally or not, but again, for the family, it's not nice.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the dog actually did die. It's very sad.
It did. It did. And we'd like to ask any people that were around that area around 8:30 on PM on Friday evening that they would contact Kildare Garda Station.
Okay, now we're moving on to the Carlow-Kildare border here. A house was broken into in Knockbane in Palatine?
Yeah, just in the village there. It occurred about 5:30, and that was on Sunday last, there the 19th. Front door of the premises was broken into, and a neighbour, the alarm went off, and a neighbour went around to have a look, and they found that the house was broken into. There was cash and clothing taken. We're interested in a silver Honda CRV, sort of like the Honda version of a 4x4, and it's 06C11949, and this was observed around the area around the time of the burglary. This car was subsequently located by Gardaí, but we'd be very interested in anybody that's seen that vehicle around Palatine area around 5:30 on the 19th there last Sunday.
Okay, and in regards to a renewed appeal, this is regarding a fatal road traffic collision on the Selbridge Road in Maynooth.
Yeah, this unfortunate occurrence happens on the 11th Saturday, the 11th of December there, and around 11:20 p.m. It happened on the Selbridge Road in Maynooth. It involved a black Mercedes and a lone pedestrian, unfortunate 60-year-old male. Gardaí looking for any witnesses who may have seen the collision or were in the area around 11 p.m. to 11:20 p.m. And again, any vehicles with dash cam footage would be appreciated if they could get to local Gardaí at Leaclip or investigating that one.
Okay, now this time of year, obviously a huge amount of charity is given to, financially I should say, but Gardaí are warning not everybody shaking the buckets are legit. They're speaking about bogus charity collectors here.
Yeah, we would like to ask the public just to be wary of who you're giving your hard-earned money to. There are bogus collectors going around visiting estates and shaking buckets at you in regards to collecting on the streets and stuff like that. And the simple advice is, if in doubt, ask people for their ID, whether they're collecting for a club or an organisation and stuff like that. And a lot of the time, you'll know them locally anyway, so you'll know whether they're legit or not.
Okay.
And again, if in doubt, ask for their permits or their court orders, which allows them to collect. And simply, if in doubt, don't give them your hard-earned cash. and report any bogus collectors to local, your local garage station.
Okay, and John, obviously the big day is Saturday. Friday evening, though, Santa will be arriving Friday night. And Kildare Gardaí have had a number of events over the weekend with Santa. And you're saying everything is good to go for the 25th, the night of the 24th.
Yeah, we're all good to go. I know there are a number of COVID restrictions and new things coming out the whole time or whatever, but we were speaking to Santa there at White Oaks, Newbridge there on Sunday evening, and everything's good to go. And there's all the schools finishing there today. A lot of them are finishing today.
Yeah.
All the kids will be delighted, and their Christmas really starts today with the finishing of schools.
Okay, how exciting. It's very exciting. Listen, Sergeant John Dunn of Newbridge Garda Station, thank you for all that, and obviously the update on Santa arriving on Friday night.
And take care. Bye-bye.
Crime Watch on KFM.
With Manguard Plus, Ladytown Business Park, Naas. PSA licensed. 045 408 300 or manguardplus.ie.
And just staying with crime for the moment, final item of the morning. This year has seen a massive increase in the number of fraud incidents reported to Gardaí. And this is a new report from the CSO. Fraud was up by 72% in the 12 months to September 2021 compared with the previous 12 months. Quarter three of 2021 set a record for reported fraud incidents. Between July and September, 4,171 incidents were reported, which is more than double the amount reported in quarter three of last year. This was the highest quarterly total for fraud incidents since the Central Statistics Office, the CSO, began compiling crime statistics in 2006. Most other crime categories have seen a decrease this year, particularly the case for homicide offences, including murder and manslaughter and dangerous driving causing death. Overall, homicides decreased by 49% from 82 to 42 in the annualised figures up to September 2021. That includes a 32% decrease in murders, which went from 37 in the previous year to 25 this year. Still 25 too many. However, sexual offending continued to rise in 2021, with 3,306 offences reported in the 12-month period up to last September, a 9% increase on the previous period. While assaults and similar offences have fallen over the 12-month period by 4%, there was an increase in such incidents during quarter three of this year, which particularly affected younger men and older women, interestingly. There was an 11% increase in assault-type offences in quarter three compared with quarter three 2020. Offences with a male victim aged 18 to 29 increased by 34% to 896 incidents, and offences against women over 60 increased by 68% to 126 incidents. Burglaries were down 36%, thefts 20%, and robberies 18% this year. The CSO has advised that the impact of COVID-19 restrictions during the period should be considered when looking at the figures. It also reported that Gardaí recorded 516 offences relating to breaches of COVID-19 regulations in the quarter to 2021. And of course, the controversy continues about cancelled 999 calls for the Gardaí, which resulted in some incidents not being recorded on the pulse system. The CSO says that could have impacted on the recording of crime statistics for the last 12 months as well. That's the latest research on quarter three 2021 crime statistics compared to the previous quarter in 2020.